having fun with our Secret Door Show. Just ahead, contestant number two, who is behind our secret door. Now, these are people who have been on the show before. I should know them, but sometimes, as you heard with Vince Jenna, they change their voice, and it's really difficult sometimes to pick. So let's give it a try when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our Secret Door Show. George Norrie with you. Let's open up the door and let that person in. You guys back there in the studios ought to get some oil for that door. So hi there, Secret member. How are you?
Well, hi, George. It's been such a long time.
Oh, I'm getting close on this one. How have you been?
Well, you know, I've been good. It's been fun being creative and doing great things. Yes.
Are you William Henry?
Oh, no.
You're not. I keep guessing William Henry for everybody, and it's not him.
Huh.
Let's see. What do you specialize in?
Well, you know, maybe this will help. One of the last times I saw you was in a castle.
Yeah, this I know. You're a magician, aren't you?
Well, sure I am.
You're Brandon Scott.
There you go.
The Magic Castle.
That's right.
Brandon, how have you been?
I've been great. Yeah.
We're going to see how great you are when you do magic tricks over the radio.
You know, we've done that before.
Yes, we have.
We should do that again.
We'll do that during our calls and stuff like that. Pick a card, any card, right?
Yes, how have you been?
I've been fine. Has the Magic Castle been affected by the COVID-19?
We've all been affected. Yes, it's closed, and we're waiting to figure out what phase it is that we're going to be able to open our doors. But the magic community has been together. The members, we've been in touch through Zoom, through events, on our membership Facebook. I'm with the outreach committee, and we're still doing outreach. So we're waiting to find out when we can go back.
Well, I thought it would have been open under some limited capacity. So it hasn't even been open for months now then, right?
Right. First time ever in a long time. I mean, ever.
And for people who are not familiar with the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, tell the folks, Brendan, a little bit about what it is.
Oh, well, if you don't know, it's a fantastic place. The castle itself is the home of the Academy of Magical Arts. And magicians from all over the world come and perform and are connected to it, not just performing magicians, but writers and inventors of magic, technicians, and a whole community. It was founded by Milt Larson from the Larson family, Milt Larson and Bill Larson. And Milt found this castle in Hollywood in the 60s. And the castle was built around 1901. 1907, I think it might have opened. And it was abandoned after a while. And he turned it into this great home for magicians. Today, you can go and dine. They have great, new and great chefs. And, you know, we had a fire a few years ago.
I heard about that.
It was a blessing in disguise in a way, in that nothing happened. And yet, we were able to rebuild it, new carpets, and give it a facelift. There's a lot of new showrooms now there. So when you go there, you see magic everywhere. And you see big shows and close-up shows. If you're interested in Houdini, you can have a Houdini seance.
Well, I got to tell you, Brendan, when you get back to being open, even at a limited capacity, let Tom know so we can get the word out for you, okay?
Absolutely.
How did you get involved in magic? I bet as a kid, you played all kinds of tricks on people, didn't you?
Well, I did. I started when I was 4 years old.
4 years old?
Yes.
My gosh.
My mom had a friend who was a chiropractor, and for my four-year-old birthday, he gave me a magic book. And I just went through that and started doing magic tricks everywhere. So when I was five, I had my first magic show in kindergarten in a purple tuxedo. I was known as the Purple Wizard.
You must have been 2.5 feet tall.
Not far away from that. Yeah.
That's cute. And a little purple tuxedo and doing your thing. What is it about magic, Brendan, that so many people are just in awe with?
Well, borrowing from what Joseph Campbell said about the arts in general, when you see something that shakes your reality, it opens up another part of you. With magic, I believe, and many of the magicians believe, it creates amazement, wonder. It challenges your sense of reality. And it is highly entertaining for most people. There are some people who are afraid of it, very few, but it sparks another possibility of another reality.
This other reality that we have is, of course, sometimes the figment of our imagination, sometimes it's the magician, but what I think makes magic so mystical is just the awe of sleight of hand and everything else. It's truly remarkable.
Magic has been in our culture from the beginning of time. You hear of ancient tribes having a shaman and fooling with the laws of nature. So the first magicians were duplicating phenomena, natural nature phenomena. And it is known that some were able to, in a way, control nature through shamanistic magical ways. And at a certain point, it grew into a form of entertainment, which really flourished, let's say, during the Renaissance time. And then it became a classical form of entertainment in the late 1800s, especially in the early 1900s.
A couple of great magicians in Las Vegas, David Copperfield, Chris Angel, of course. Would you say that Chris is more of an illusionist or a magician?
Well, a magician is, in a way, doing illusion.
But right, right.
In our trade, we often refer to an illusionist, that one who is doing illusions that tend to be a prop. And so an illusionist show is sewing a lady in half, making a lady float. But in reality, even if you're doing magic with coins and cards, you're creating illusion. So I would say that anybody doing magic, whether it's David Copperfield or Jeff McBride or Chris Angel, or all of them, we are creating an illusion. So that's my answer. I don't say he's one or the other, because he's doing both.
I know you can't give your tricks away, but how do these people do what they do? It's amazing. I mean, we're looking at it, and we just can't figure it out. Are they tricking us in terms of, you know, distorting our minds?
When you say they, do you mean us, like in me as a magician?
Yes, yes.
Magicians, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we tricking you? Yes. Are we fooling your mind? Yes. And we're using all, you know, magic is an art form. And it's one of the few arts that combines all of the arts. Choreography of dance, music, mime, theater, tragedy, comedy. And amongst that, we play with science. Optical illusions, psychology, misdirection, and there is great skill involved. And, there are some young magicians coming up that have birthed a whole new generation of magic that are fooling everybody. And that's because you can always build and borrow from older techniques and improve them. And magic is constantly evolving and getting better, and it's challenged by society. And then we try to have one hand up and try to come up with something that will continue to fool and entertain you.
Brenda, these magic tricks that you can buy at the stores are absolutely riveting for people. I mean, these little tricks that they include in there, they're something else, aren't they?
They are fantastic. I am one to embrace finding things in books that are obscure, but I totally welcome and do use commercially. I do corporate events a lot, and you have to have a topic that matches the theme. And sometimes some of these tricks that you can find in magic shops, if you just tweak them a little bit, lend themselves to the theme of the event. And they are fantastic because there's very few actual magical principles. And everything builds upon that. So a well-educated magician learns all these principles. And from there's thousands of magic tricks that can be done.
What's your favorite trick?
Oh, boy.
I'm going to tie you up with this one.
Well, you know, maybe in the form of a genre, because I enjoy, like all audiences, seeing good magic. And there are manipulation magicians who keep making things appear out of their hands, whether they're cards or flowers or ping pong balls, that even if you know how it's done, it's done so well that it fools your senses. So any time stuff appears and disappears and you cannot tell where it's coming from, it is fascinating. I do also enjoy illusions. I mean, I love to see a good levitation. When someone is floating in the air, one of my favorites is David Copperfield, who you mentioned earlier on, and the way he flies through the air, because even though we magicians are who we are magicians, we're still human, and we have our inner child as well. And when we are lifted into awe, as like someone floating does for me, so I would suppose a levitation would be one of my favorites.
Do you know what he's doing, or are you baffled too?
Well, I happen to know how he's doing it. I mean, I don't know all the innuendos of everything, but as I said, when you learn the essential secret principles, you understand how things theoretically work. And I have seen things that David Copperfield and many others have done that I have to scratch my head. And magicians love that. You know, that's one of the reasons Penn and Teller fool us. It's so popular, not just with the general public, but with magicians as well. And by the way, they've kind of upped the notch on what magic should be beyond entertainment, but also as a form of being able to fool you, not just entertain you. So, it is one of the most interesting art forms that transcends all languages and does a similar thing to all people, most of the time in a positive and healthy way.
Well, with Brandon Scott, who is a magician, and he was the second of our three Who's Behind the Secret Door guests, and I got this one right, so I'm one for one. Brandon, you are very fascinated with UFOs. I mean, to a point where that's part of your career, isn't it?
Well, it is tied into what I do since I was a child. Professionally, I make my living in the entertainment world. And my favorite thing to do is to discover ancient sites, find hints of ancient civilizations, mm-hmm. perhaps impacted, affected, originated by potential extraterrestrials. And, of course, the whole UFO phenomena. I did see things when I was a child that led me on a path to know more. I had many, many experiences because I lived in a very mystical place in Mexico. And from UFOs to mediums, to ghosts, to all sorts of things. I was exposed to this as a young one. And because I am a magician, I became part of various important paranormal groups as the one to go and try to figure out if any trickery was being done.
Uh-huh.
So I am a skeptic, and I look at everything, yet I have experienced inexplicable things myself.
An incredible story yesterday where scientists came out with a report based on calculations that there might be 36 intelligent life forms in our galaxy spread out all over the place. I don't know how they exactly came to that number, 36, as opposed to 700 or something, but that's the number they came up with. That's pretty fascinating, though, isn't it?
It is. It is. And there's always a new layer of information. You said when was it, yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. That just moves us forward into more awareness and more challenges.
I love it. I really love it. Now, what do you say to an aspiring magician, a young kid who wants to do this for a living? He loves it. What do you say? How do you encourage him?
Well, I have an opportunity to do that often because I have the kids' magic school, and I also teach magic.
That's right.
To those who are interested in the arts. And there's those who are learning it as because they want to be a magician. And I will say to them to continue to get an education, not only in magic, a rounded education, as if you're studying, you know, a science or math or a law or anything, to really learn everything about it and to develop a way of it being a form of expression of your inner art. And for those who are just learning it for fun, let's just say, it is a great way to, especially if one is timid, to amplify your personality, to make you a little bit less shy, to give you tools in social situations where you can interact with something unique. So I always encourage magic to be learned well. And that's what I tell the kids.
We're going to take calls with Brendan Scott at the half about magic and about some incredible things. So make sure you're part of the program. I mean, it is truly remarkable. Are women getting involved in magic as well?
Oh, you know, there is a wonderful support for women right now. There are amazing women magicians coming from all over the world.
That's great.
At the Magic Castle and the Academy of Magical Arts, we've embraced welcoming women, and there's more women magicians that have been added to the schedule of performances. So almost always you'll be fortunate to see a woman magician very frequently at the Magic Castle. For a long time, there were very few magicians. As a matter of fact, I mentioned Milt Larson. His mother was a magician. His whole family was a magician, but his mother had a television show in the early days of television.
Gosh, I bet that was rare. Hold on, Brendan. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about magic, and we'll take phone calls. Brendan Scott, behind secret door number 2, and I'm 1 for 1. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're back with our second Secret Door panelist, Brendan Scott, the magician. I got him right, so I'm 1 for 1. We'll have one more next hour. We'll take calls as well. Magic is just magical, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing more, I think, heartwarming than seeing the eyes of a kid when some kind of magic act is performed in front of him. It's really amazing.
Yes. Children especially have no point of reference, and they accept it for the wonder that it is. And, well, it also does the same for adults. in my observation and experience. It may not show the same way, but when you talk to many adults who have experienced the magic and love it, they are like a child. So I agree with you.
I have a magic trick that I do, Brendan, which is a little tiny napkin. And I have the person rip it up and tear it up and roll it into a ball and blow into it. And then I said, now open it slowly. Watch. And they do, and it crumbles, it falls apart, nothing happens. And they go, what is this? And I said, no, you got to really squeeze it tight when you say the magic words. And when I do that, I do my sleight of hand trick, and I flip it with that little tiny napkin I had tucked away in my hand. And I give them the real napkin, which they don't notice because they're looking at me talking to them and stuff. And I said, you really got to squeeze it and blow into it. Now open it up slower. And they're expecting it to crumble and fall apart again. They open it up, and there's the complete napkin all put together. And they are mystified. They really are.
It's actually very simple. Yeah. You know, and one of the reasons you hear often that magicians don't reveal their secrets, and when we learn magic, we all have to, you know, make that famous promise not to reveal the secret, which I'm going to pass on to you as well.
I just violated the cardinal rule, didn't I?
I'll show you how to do how to up that so that your hands will be free of anything next time I see you.
Okay, you have a deal.
So we promise this because, you know, once you know the secret, the surprise is gone, and it's like telling a joke three times in a row. By the third time, you're not going to laugh.
You know the punchline. Exactly.
Yeah. So likewise, if you know the secret, although a really good magician, you can watch over and over and over again. Even if you know how it's done, it's so smooth and wonderful that you throw all that out the window and you just enjoy.
What do some of these tricks that folks like Copperfield do, what do they cost on the high side?
Well, I mean, I can't, you know, really speak for other people's costs. I will say that, you know, I had a full magic review in Las Vegas. I toured many of the major casinos with my illusion show.
Ah, okay.
It's expensive. I mean, first of all, let me just say that you can do magic with simple things and not have to spend fortunes. But you can also spend $250,000 or $1 million.
Wow.
In doing a magic show, easy.
Just the setting for the show, all the tricks, everything else.
Yes. I mean, some average special props, depending on who makes them, are in the thousands of dollars. And so, yeah.
Are there companies or individuals, Brendan, who design magical tricks for you magicians?
Well, oh yeah. Earlier on, I was mentioning how those that are members of the Magic Casting, you have to be a member. You can't just go or be invited by a member. But many of the members are not necessarily performing magicians. Some of them are engineers, designers, and yes, there are. One of the most brilliant ones who comes to the castle often is Johnny Gaughan. And he actually has a wonderful museum of magic.
Ah, he's like an architect almost, huh?
he is the Rembrandt, you know, of magic, the highest of calibers. And he's done magic for all the great magicians, you know, not just David Copperfield, going back to Doug Henning, to many of the magic specials. He continues to do so. And he's a collector of magic and has restored magic and other things from, you know, 1700s, 1800s. So, yes, there are these people, and we depend on them. And there's a big difference between those that do it really well and those that don't.
Is he a magician in his own right?
Well, again, we're into semantics, because once you are being a magician does not necessarily mean you do, you know, you're known to be doing tricks yourself. But yes, I mean, talking about a levitation, he presented a levitation at the Magic Castle in the main room in the Palace of Mystery, where I can't remember, but it was over 100 years old, this particular prop. And it was the most smoothest, most magical thing, where the girl floats and hovers and glides and goes from one place to the other. And he presented it. So, yes, he is a magician. He does magic.
Let's go to Mike in Clearwater, Florida to get us started. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hi, George. Good morning, Brent.
Hi.
I have a question. Years ago, there was a guy by the name of Val Valentino. He called himself the Masked Magician. And what he did was he went on TV, and over a four-part series, he gave away all the secrets of how a lot of these shows are done. To me, that's akin to giving away trade secrets, and I know that it probably caused a stir among the magician community. My question is, did it help his career? Did it hurt his career? And whatever ended up happening to him after he did that series?
Val Valentino.
Off the air.
Okay.
Yeah, Val Valentino, the Masked Magician. Oh, well, first of all, I knew Val Valentino before he was Val Valentino and before he became the Masked Magician. And actually, he taught me how to eat fire.
Oh, really? And, eat fire?
Ooh. Eat fire. My dentist always questions that. That's really yes, magicians were not happy. It actually ruined, for a while, the work potential of some magicians who were confronted with impresarios who wanted them to show up with other magic tricks because everyone knew now what the magic tricks were because of the Val Valentino Masked Magician show. Besides the breaking the vow, just the idea of being exposed, of being betrayed, was at the tip tongue of all magicians. And so he was out, kind of like excommunicated, shall we say,
I bet.
From the magic community. Not too long ago, I saw him, I don't know, 3 years ago, I can't, it was three, 4 years ago, could have been, yeah, around 3 years, at an awards banquet. And he was socializing with magicians. This is now much later than the Masked Magician episodes. But you could see that many kind of stayed away.
Yeah.
Did it make a difference in his life? Well, he made millions. If you think money is a note of success, I know that he worked overseas and he was teaching some dignitaries of other countries magic. But I will say this. I was asked by CNN when this was going on about my opinion, and several magicians along with me kind of agreed that what he did put a challenge on all of us. And we have to come up with magic to still entertain and kind of not allow the exposure of those things to affect us. And so many reinvented themselves. But here's the wonder. First of all, many people, although they saw it, they forgot about it.
They forgot.
So
yeah.
they saw how it was done. You know, a year later, wherever they go to Vegas or Broadway, they see it on TV, Masters of Illusions or whatever, and they forgot about it. And if they, in the back of their mind, they happen to think they remember how it was done because they saw the Masked Magician, it's not present because it's not always about trying to figure it out. Yes. Well, if you can't fool me because I know how it's done, you're still amazing me because it is an art form and it does transcend and spark imagination. So, you know, it hurt us a little bit, but we are way beyond that.
Let's go to Grants Pass, Oregon. First-time caller, Donnie's with us. Hey, Donnie, you're on with Brendan Scott. Go ahead.
Thanks, George. I appreciate you taking the call. And, Mark, hey.
Thank you.
Just got a real quick question.
All right.
Can you make Jenny Turdurkin, the mayor of Seattle, disappear?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm asked this question every day. Can you make this person disappear? Can you make that person disappear? Only theatrically, sir. Under theatrical conditions, but they will come right back out of the wing.
And then you let them out of the box or wherever they may be.
And then you let them out of the box, right.
Next up, we've got Count Fuller in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Count.
How you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Okay, my question for Brendan is, who's the most popular magician now and is going to that's currently touring?
Well, I would say Copperfield, but this is all for you, Brendan.
Wow, well, you say that's touring. There are many magicians that you would not know their name that are touring, that are popular. Especially some great up-and-coming magicians. So, I mean, we'd have to, and the nature of our business is we're always touring. So most magicians with a show that are popular are touring.
But you wouldn't say Copperfield, hands down, is the most popular?
All right. So David Copperfield is amazing. And I think if in the past, in our history, you'd ask somebody who's the most popular magician, they would say Houdini.
Right.
Although, you know, there's controversy that there were great magicians alongside him. Today, one of the first names that comes to mind is David Copperfield, well deserved, for he has innovatively taken magic to a next step and continues to do so. But there are others. I mean, another very popular magician is David Blaine.
Blaine's good. Very good.
Yes, 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 yes. And depending on the season, you know, also in the Las Vegas area, Lance Burton became extremely popular. And so did Dietfried and Roy.
Who's the one who made an elephant disappear?
Well, there's been many who made elephants disappear. Doug Henning made an elephant disappear.
Houdini did that too, didn't he?
But Blackstone.
Blackstone, yeah. Didn't he do it for the Queen or something?
I'm not sure. And I know that Blackstone Jr. Made an elephant disappear. And it's very interesting how he made it disappear, which I'll tell you privately. You know, his wife, speaking of women magicians, Gay Blackstone is the producer of Masters of Illusion. And which has been going on, so many seasons. It's amazing that there's so much good magic on television now, with all of those magicians being popular now. I mean, there's the guy who dresses up as a dragon who's really popular and is frequently on Penn and Teller. So it's a difficult question to answer. In the magic world, for example, Shoot Ogawa, who is on the board at the Academy of Magical Arts, is really popular, not only with magicians, because he's such a great magician.
Right.
And I mean, I could go on forever. There's with names that you may or may not have heard, but I think the bottom line is, as far as public awareness, there's new ones coming up on Netflix. There's a series with Justin Williams, which is gaining popularity. And so
new generations of people, you may ask the question, and they might say it's Justin McLean.
Who is your favorite magician, Brendan?
Oh, you're going to put me up against all my colleagues here. Yeah,
I know that.
I think that my most favorite, I have too many, and they really equally are my favorite magicians. Well,
and I bet you like them for their individual tricks and magic acts separately.
There's no possible way I could say this one, that one, because I do.
Super.
I mean, we've recently lost many great masters of magic, and it happens every year, but, you know, it appears that in past few years, a whole new generation. And from those people, I also had some favorites.
And you need new ones to keep coming, Brendan. We're out of time, my friend. Thank you for being one of our Secret Door panelists. I look forward to running into you when I get back to Los Angeles, my friend. Thank you.